The wedding feast at Cana has been widely depicted in Christian art throughout the ages, and here in Rome, images of the feast date as far back as the earliest Christian period. Art historian Elizabeth Lev from Duquesne University takes us down into the Eternal City's cavernous catacombs to catch a glimpse of how Rome's first Christians remembered Christ's first miracle.
The wedding of Cana is an important image in the history of the iconography of Rome because it's found in the catacombs. It's found in an underground basilica here in Rome very, very early on, 3rd century AD. So it's in that second wave of early Christian images. And the wedding at Cana in these early images is clearly part of an extremely important catechetical plan. All the images of the catacombs are completely, neatly tied to catechism and the teaching of the new recruits, the new converts, Christianity. And so the wedding of Cana comes into the imagery as the symbol for the Eucharist of all things. Not what we would ordinarily expect in today's modern preaching, where we talk about Mary instigating Jesus to his first miracle, but actually the early images in the catacombs, as the Christians try to develop their art and their symbols, they're working on ways of showing the Eucharist. There are a number of different ways. There's the Fractio Panis, there's the multiplication of loaves and fishes. And what happens in the 3rd century is they take out the fishes in the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, and you see the multiplication of the loaves. And the next question is, how are we going to get the Eucharistic wine into the picture? And they use the wedding of Cana because it shows Christ transforming water into wine, just as in the miracle of Christ to transform wine into his own blood. So it becomes the first rudiments of a Eucharistic imagery.
Where else do we see it in churches and in artwork here in Rome, or perhaps in the Vatican museums?
You would find it does not show up quite as often as one would expect. It actually shows up a great deal in Byzantine art. It's a very popular subject in icons, so it's really an imagery that belongs more to the Eastern Church. But these, during the course of the Renaissance, during the course of this intense exchange, this arrival of many artists from the Byzantine tradition coming to Rome, you begin to find manifestations of the story. The most famous one is not in Rome. The most famous of these wedding at Cana images, the one that is absolutely dazzling, is the one that was painted by Paolo Veronese in 1573. It's a painting that measures 660 centimeters by 997 centimeters, which would be, I'm trying to remember what this would be in feet. It's about 18 feet by 30 feet.
My
it's
goodness,
an enormous
huge.
Painting. It was so huge, so famous, so beautiful, Napoleon requisitioned it, and he
a nice word for saying he stole it.
yes, it under his Treaty of Tolentino, which involved an army or a shopping list. It went to the Louvre, and it's been there ever since. It occupies an entire wall of the Louvre. But what you see in the Renaissance versions, let's say, of the Wedding of Cana, is a far more joyous representation. You see. People dancing, people singing, people having fun. You see bright colors. Almost for the Renaissance, it seems like a day off for them to be able to paint these extremely happy, buoyant country scenes.
And what sort of relationship does Mary have with Jesus? If you look at the story of the wedding feast of Cana, Mary turns to Jesus and says, "They've run out of wine."
Something very significant about the movement of the story of the wedding at Cana is that once we hit the Renaissance, actually already in the 13th century, 12th century Byzantine icons, you already see Mary and Jesus seated right by each other. Mary is clothed completely in her robe. She sits right next to Jesus always. They usually make a corner in the painting. And sometimes you see sort of Mary speaking to Jesus or Jesus turning towards the jars which contain the water. But one, I think, particularly telling image, this is a Northern image, has Mary pointing to her son when she speaks to clearly one of the servants who has come to ask her what to do. And when she points to her son, you know that's those are the words, do as he tells you. So also that very important part of the wedding of Cana, that you must do what he tells you. And again, the idea that it's not Mary who's performing the miracle, Mary who incites Jesus, and Mary who tells us to listen to what Jesus tells us to do.
You mentioned the catacombs before. Would this sort of scene also be have been depicted in the catacomb scenes?
No, as a matter of fact, the catacomb image is almost completely destroyed, so we don't know exactly how the lineup of the scene works, but we have enough catacomb paintings and enough paintings of similar types of scenes to know that catacomb stories are always very restricted. They're very absolute essentials. It's like pictograms. It's so simple and so directly told. And so this lavishness that characterizes the painting, which really makes it a popular subject at some points in the Renaissance because of the fact that you can make this moment of the first miracle look like your own wedding or a country fete or something that people can really relate to, a moment when there's joy and there's happiness and there's hope for the future. And in this setting where it's not one of, you know, desperate, horrible, you know, last minute back to the wall need, but in the setting of happiness, you know, Jesus reveals the first miracle. So it's a very the Renaissance really plays that up, whereas the catacomb painting really plays up is using the wedding at Cana to draw out a Eucharistic significance.
Elizabeth Lev is a professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University's Rome campus.